Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Football, fighting, and full of nonsense. The Stephen Housen Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday night. It's the Stephen Housen Podcast. Jaden's sending me absolutely ridiculous texts when I've clearly just told him what he needs to do, the absolute weapon. Welcome to the Stephen Housen Podcast. As usual, joined by my mate Ben. Make sure, if you are watching us live, to go and give him a follow. He's on like 170-odd followers on Twitter. It is my ambition to get him to 1,000, so go give the guy a follow. Let's get it up there. I'm just going to hit refresh on these over here to make sure that we are going live everywhere that we are meant to be going live. And hopefully...
Just had the message there.
Alright, so we are live there. And it looks like we're about to go live there. Happy day. So, we are live. Let's get the topics up, actually, and let's start talking about what we were going to talk about. So, the title is Mourinho Out and Other Such Nonsense.
Oh, my days. Absolute nonsense.
And the reason for that is because we've seen a little bit, we discussed it, I think, on Friday. The fact that the guy that, in fact, no, was it? It might have been on something else that we saw it, because, get the comments up on there. It might be on something else that I discussed it. That Mourinho Out account, did we talk about it?
No, I think I sent it to you, maybe. Or maybe it was on, I think Paul might have retweeted it.
Well, we saw Paul Benkowski, the editor of MUFC Latest, he mentioned... on in the group that we've got a writers chat in there. Paul had mentioned in there that if you go through the likes of one of those Mourinho Out accounts, it's a Liverpool account.
Yeah.
It's a Liverpool account. So relax.
Trolling, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just a troll, mate. Just absolutely relax.
Well, it gathers pace, and then people start getting agitated about it, and then they start thinking, oh, actually, maybe I'm on that same vibe. I don't know. Maybe.
I never wanted us to appoint Mourinho after Van Gaal. I've said that a few times. I'm open with that. And the reason I didn't want to do that was because I thought entering this cycle of what I see every other club doing in the world is manager didn't work, manager didn't work, manager didn't work, manager didn't work. There's no patience, there's no longevity. And people can mock Arsenal all they want, but I take my hat off that I'm not wearing... to him about how they've stuck by Wenger when arguably they probably stuck by him for too long now, but they stuck by him and they allowed him to.
Yeah, I think he can decide when he wants to go. He's been there that long and he's all right. He's not really done much since the early 2000s, but he's stuck to whatever, and he's got him in that new stadium and all that, and he's made him money and stuff. But people want, you want to win everything, don't you? Like straight away, I want to win the league, want to win.
I've said it. I make us favourites to win the league this year, and I think anything other will be a disappointment to us if we don't win the league. And do you know what? It's probably unrealistic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to go from where we've been, and everyone else is improving as well, as like everyone's got the money to. You look at teams now, and there's 6 or 7 or 8 maybe in a cluster that could potentially think, well, you know what? We've got a chance at top four. So. Yeah, we've got to go and win it. Mourinho's got to go and say we've got to go and win it, because everyone else before, or Van Gaal and Moyes before him, has said top four would be achieving, or City.
I actually blocked Moyes out that much that I don't even remember what he said.
Well, he said we aspire to be like City.
He did, but when he first came, did he say...
No, he didn't.
He took over the Champions, for fuck's sake. Did he say when he took us over, yeah, I want to win the league? I can't remember what he said.
I can't, to be honest. I thought he fucked up there where he didn't. He should have kept... the core of the staff on behind the scenes. Bring a few of your own trusted confidence on. And if you want, you're going different ideas and different directions and stuff like that.
For me, it's sink or swim time, though, because if he achieved it and it was Mickey Feel and Rennie Mullenstein and all them guys there, we'd never know how good Moyes was, you know what I mean?
Well, we knew now.
Exactly. So I'm happier that we knew.
Yeah, fair enough.
So 9 months in, we go, actually, yeah, you're fucking terrible. You and Steve Round in his notebook, fuck off, how's that sound?
I think Steve Round still gets slight work based on the fact that he was former assistant United manager.
Oh. But yeah, I was happier that we knew for a fact Moyes was the man or not the man. And if it had come in, and Mickey Phelan had still been there. And Mickey Phelan's just got the job permanently by the looks of things at Hull. So
yeah,
buzzing for him, because that must have been so hard taking that job. And they're like, well, maybe you'll get a deal.
Well, he's done a few, hasn't he? He went to Norwich first, I think, was it under Lambert? Did he go there as assistant manager?
This is his first proper appointment.
Yeah, first proper one. But I think from like when he moved on from United, he took a bit of time out, didn't he? I think he went to Norwich because he played there, didn't he, before?
We used to take the piss a little bit out of Mickey Phelan. Like, what does he do? Like, probably a fucking lot. Because Fergie delegated the shit out of those last few years, and he was his assistant.
Yeah.
And if you look at what Mickey Phelan was assistant for,
really. Yeah.
What Mickey Phelan was assistant for was 3 Champions League finals. And I think 3 or 4 title wins.
Yeah, don't forget he had a decent career as well playing.
Not a bad one. The sort of career that actually you go on and have a good managerial career because you know your limitations, you understand that you're not a Ballon d'Or winning player, so you can maybe recognise graft more in players.
And you probably start working on it a lot sooner than other players who think, oh shit, I'm coming to the end of my career now, I better do something else.
If you're Zidane, and clearly I'm proving my own theory wrong here, but if you're Zidane, you're one of the best players who ever played the game. How can you relate when you've got a squad that's got 4 Mickey Phelans in it?
Just because you're one of the best, it doesn't mean that you don't appreciate hard work.
No, not at all.
You look at Ronaldo, he's like next level athlete. But
oh yeah, he's an hard worker. I'm not saying it, but it's with some aspects when it's come very easy. I think someone said Roy Keane can't understand why people aren't as good as he was when he was manager. That was one of his downfalls, is that he expected Manchester United exceptional levels from everybody, but he was coaching Ipswich and Sunderland. And
but if you don't go in with those expectations, then are you setting yourself up to fail in the first place? So maybe he's just, obviously he's very direct as well, isn't he? So, and he's blunt. People like don't like it, do they? When being told, like, obviously the bit of criticism that's come out, and like even Deco said, like, you need to get used to criticising people in public, which I'm all for that.
Keno?
Jose.
Oh right.
He's talking about, like, because obviously he said something about Luke Shaw.
So, what he said about Luke Shaw was nothing wrong.
Yeah, no, but like people
are
saying
agent shit.
Yeah, and then you put like a story out to say, not really happy with that, but. If you can't tell someone they're wrong, what are you going to do? It's the age-old thing where you just keep...
Sorry, just look at the last comment on there. We will do. We'll get to the comments a little bit later, so just save your comments for now, or we might miss them. We're definitely coming to the comments, but we're going to get a few topics out of the way first this time, so it doesn't just descend into chaos like last time. So yeah, you're saying... Deco's saying you got to get used to him slagging you off.
Yeah, and I don't see anything wrong with that at all. If I went to work and I weren't doing my job, I'd expect someone to pull me up and say, look, you need to pull your socks up.
But I get that, and I get that, I just tell my fuck off.
Well, yeah, I think I do as well, to be fair. But
yes.
Yeah, I had to have a chat yesterday. I've been too miserable. Oh, fucking hell.
I'm at work.
Yeah. I think my sarcasm level relates to what's going on around at the time. If like I'm busy and I'm happy, then, you know, I'll have a joke in that way. But if I'm miserable, I'm going to be... Yeah. Calling you out for all sorts of shit.
Fuck off.
Yeah. It was all well mannered anyway.
Right, has Mourinho lost his sparkle? And I'll preface this by saying Jurgen Klopp had a couple of not average years, but completely and utterly dog shit years at Dortmund.
Oh, the year before he left, wasn't it, really? He was on the teetering on relegation.
So
he couldn't win a game.
Did they lose their shit? Like, can managers lose it?
I don't know, because when Fergie announced he was going to retire, we went completely...
2001.
Yeah, we went completely off the boil, didn't we? I mean, Jurgen Klopp, you know, obviously he didn't announce it right at the start of the season, this is going to be my last one. Jurgen Klopp, I mean, the things that he achieved with Dortmund when he's selling your best players...
Oh, every year.
You know what I mean?
Every year getting rinsed.
Yeah, and rinsed. You're still producing... Top level performances, still finding gems all the time in the transfer market. No, you got to allow him. You can't expect someone to perform that level, because everyone else is there trying to catch you. Different if you're an individual, because you can affect the individual as a player, like moments in a game or goals or whatever it may be. But as a manager, you've got to piece everything together and you've got to keep everything running like clockwork. I mean, that's what obviously Fergie did. Absolutely meant, but we had like some like half-arse years, like when we
2005, 2006, when Chelsea won there. Well,
even before that, like the year before we won the treble.
I don't know if that was an half-arse year. I think that Arsenal side at that time was fucking very, very good. Yeah. That was Vieira and Petit going rascal.
Yeah, I know, but
didn't Roy Keane get injured that year? Not when he done his thing yet. If you look at the years I think it was
96, 97. Yeah, it was iconic. Yeah, and it was
the end of 98 when or January 98 or something.
No, I think we didn't have him for the running. I thought it was earlier in this, and no, it was right at the start of the season against Leeds. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Either way, every one of the seasons where we've not won the league under Fergie, there's
Cantona
in 95.
Yeah.
Are you telling me we don't win the league? We needed a goal for one goal.
Yeah, I know.
Are you telling me we don't score that one goal, and then you lose Roy Keane in 98? You take fucking Cantona and Keane out of anything. And or you put them into anything, and you've got a different story altogether, haven't you?
Yeah, I suppose.
2004, different story. We was trying all sorts of new shit. Keane was going through what Rooney's going through now in 2004, and by 2005 he was a fucking liability.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Oh yeah, I mean he had to go.
When he got sacked, there weren't many United fans at the time that was that arsed.
No.
Can you imagine? Add another year probably onto what Rooney's got now, and imagine Rooney coming out and slagging off some players that actually aren't really that bad.
Yeah, but I don't think he would do that in public. He might do it behind.
Just project it onto him. Just say he did. And then United was like, well, later's dickhead. Can you see anyone?
But
I think everyone reacts to
him. Yeah, but would United do that though? Because now you've got to think of all the stuff that's commercially tied into Rooney. It's a different ballgame than 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
It is, but I don't know. The answer I'm saying is, but I think the way Keane fell off, 2000, 2001, Roy Keane was the best player in the world for me.
I told you, he's my favourite player.
Enigma.
Like, just even like from day
Force
one.
Force of nature.
Yeah. He just dragged us across the line.
Force of nature.
Even when he first came.
But yeah. He was more behind the scenes, I think, come 98. Once Cantona left.
There was a lot of big personalities at the time, wasn't he? And he was a young lad when he came to us.
He was only 23, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, he weren't old.
So, yeah, by the time he's 27, 28, yeah. Cantona's just left this void of leadership.
I can imagine he was still, like... I can imagine he was still snapping people in training.
Well, 98, when Dwight York signed, the famous story, Dwight York comes onto the training field, and you can imagine Dwight York, big beaming grin,
okay,
saying hello to
big
everyone.
Big gold chain hanging out and everything.
Nah, not at training. He was a grafter, I think, in training. Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, mind you, he might have played with a chain.
Because he used to be able to, didn't he? It was a thin one. He still had it. Cause
he used to play in one.
Yeah.
He comes out of the training pitch. He's probably saying hiya to everyone. He's probably having a laugh and a joke. And then Roy Keane fires a ball at him from a yard away and goes, and he obviously just ricochets off his shin and then gets in his face and goes, Cantona would have fucking controlled that. Morning, Roy.
Yeah, thanks. But that's what you need. That's the sort of initiation you need to see whether you're up to the test. And then obviously, he absolutely ripped it that year. And then he thought, I've done it. And then we used to see him in Panacea. And,
I won't say it
yet, but you know what I mean.
Fucking hell.
He loved a party. Yeah, probably still does.
Suits of fuck. right, how long is it going to take Jose to get it right at United? And is this season a write-off because of that?
Has he lost his spark? I don't think it is. But I'd say no anyway.
I'm going to say no as well, because I think he has changed United since he's come.
Yeah, I mean...
Even if it's just... redirected us 5% back onto the more aggressive attacking style of play.
We would have never created that many chances. You've got to be disappointed with the result against Stoke, but you've got to be more disappointed with the fact that we didn't take our chances, because we had a lot, not the fact that we didn't create the chances.
How many chances did we create for West Ham at home last year? Because that's one that sticks in my head as one where we fucked up. Newcastle at home started the season.
I was in Amsterdam then. Oh, I can't remember that one.
Spurs at home. There was all these games that we had at the start of the season last year. Started a similar way, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we're more on the front foot now, aren't we? And he's definitely changed us in that way. I think, obviously, for Mourinho, he'd like to be more defensively hard to beat. But he's got to obviously realise that we want to attack.
You've got to go for it. It's in the identity of United that you've got
to
go for it.
He's got to change from what he's been used to. Also, he's come off the back of getting sacked for... Like,
and that's got to take something out of him. Definitely. That's got to take something out of him. From champions to literally relegation fodder, they was fucked. But what warms my heart a little bit is that Conte is still struggling, and I rate Conte highly.
Yeah, he's a top manager. He's a top manager, but you can't do nothing with David Luiz. He's an embarrassment, mate.
Yeah, he's embarrassing. Shy. I don't think John Terry's all that. I've said that a lot of times. I really don't rate John Terry.
I'm not a big fan of John Terry, but you can see they're missing him big time. Just
Carvalho was the fucking player. That was the centre half that they relied on.
Carvalho was starting for Portugal in Euros, and he's 37.
165 years old. Okay, so can we accept not winning the league this year? I think we're probably going to have to. And, all right.
I said I'd accept not winning the league as long as we're more competitive. And
I'm going to throw up if they win it, though.
Yeah, I will. I'm not fucking
like actually throw up on myself, I think. Like Team America style.
Like my daughter this morning.
All right, what would get him sacked then?
I don't know. That's a tricky one, because I think we'll make a commitment with Mourinho, because the only way that they'll look at, obviously, the fans and obviously commercially as well, and think, well, if it's when it got turns on the terraces, isn't it, really? And like, although they weren't singing for Van Gaal out, they weren't singing LVG's with my army.
It faltered in it at times last year. There was times when, especially half time, there was smatterings of booze, but there was more tuts than anything. Like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, is this again? You like turning up for what? It's fucking, you'd rather be at home, wouldn't you? Having a bath or something? Painting your walls, fucking anything. It was boring, dull as shit.
Cleaning my bathroom floor, my tongue. There was some shit performances last year.
I mean, it's already like,
we are going for it. Yeah. We're taking a lot more risks in this final third.
I mean, that's the difference. When we come back off international break, that'll be the test.
October is a bitch of a month.
Yeah. But I don't think that will define our season, though. Still.
No, because I still think there's still too many good teams that are going to take points off each other. Mm. There's no way West Ham go through the whole season the way they've been so far.
I won't mind it, though.
No, I'm going to laugh my dick off if they get relegated. I swear to God, I'll do a 10-minute video of me just going, ha!
Yeah, well, I won't mind seeing that.
I fucking hate West Ham.
I don't know where I won't go on about them, but they've got like some air of like self-importance.
Then they've won, fuck all. I think Wigan have won as much as West Ham, or more probably. Yeah. Fucking
the
Christ.
West Ham way and all that.
All right, so let's move it on a little bit for that then, and let's go. Talking of sackings, let's go on to England. Let's talk about Gareth Southgate, right? Gareth Southgate's nickname is Nord. Do you know why he's called Nord?
Enlighten me.
Because he sounds like a comedian called Dennis Norden, right? That's a boring nickname. That tells you how fucking boring this guy is. If a guy's got a boring ass nickname like that, the reason why Gareth Southgate's got a job is because he's never even told anyone to bugger off.
Yeah, because he's clean.
Yeah.
But that's the way that they've got to go now, because
he's the Michael Owen of management.
Yeah, but they've got nowhere else they can go in the FA. Because you're going to, obviously, all these things have come out about Sam, which the police are investigating now. It's all come out on it. That,
he's fucked. I reckon he's fucked.
Let's say, allegedly.
About what he's allegedly done.
Saying that, he said he was going to sue the BBC 10 years ago. He's still not done that. So,
wasn't it about 1998 he said that?
I don't know. I think it was after that, wasn't it? But yeah. Either way. But yeah, I don't really care who gets an England manager's job, if I'm honest. I'm just like, when's the 17th of October? Fuck, it's still another, whatever, 10 days, 11 days or something like that.
I think we've got 3 weeks left before the next match. Oh,
man. But then it's like 3 in 6 days. Monday, Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah, I hate internationals. Right, Gareth Southgate, let's just look at his credentials, though. And let's just think, you're saying this is all England have got to a point, right?
Only in the sense that he's squeaky clean.
I think you've got to go with the nationality that your country is, right? So you've got to appoint an Englishman for me. Gareth Southgate, his win ratio with the under-21s is excellent, right?
Mm-hmm.
79%. That's a fucking great ratio, but they're always really strong teams, our under-21s.
Yeah, but
for some reason.
Well, yeah, in a way, but we still don't play like other nations like Germany and Spain, where
there's
play
no national identity, like
where they play players and they have a core players and they're moving through and they transition through the 21s.
We have flavour of the month.
Yeah, we have. We'll put Rashford in the 21s now. We see him take the piss, score an hat trick, and think, actually, yeah.
Bring him in the first. No, leave him in there. Let him understand how to dominate a game. And then when he's ready for the national men's team, first team, he's going to know how to dominate a game, not be a bit part player. Or even if he starts, he's still not got that ability
Harry Kane's injured, so that might be the thinking why they brought him in there. But why the fuck would you bring Glenn Johnson in? Why would you do it? Like, who's the right back who's thinking they could have brought in? Can't think. There's an England right back. Oh, I can't think of who he is. But you think he's uncapped? He's going to come in as backup anyway. So you're playing Malta and you're playing Slovenia.
And if you lose those games, leave, right?
Yeah, he's not going to get literally. He's not going to get beat.
But if you do?
Well, yeah, if you do, yeah, they'd be up, bro. I mean, especially the way that our press attack it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just think, oh, man.
And Gareth Southgate's a boring knobhead. Right, his record at club level as well is atrociously bad. 29% win ratio with Middlesbrough.
Yeah, but he did all right. He kept him up, though, didn't he, the first season?
It's a 29% win ratio.
Yeah, that's
however
great.
You want to paint it, that's shite. To get the top job in the country.
But is it the top job in the country, though?
It's getting $500,000 for four games.
Yeah, well, nice one. I'll take that.
I'll take it.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll take it, but, like, it's like we said it before, it's the richest job in world international football. They should be able to...
Undeservedly so, though.
Yeah, man. Just because RFA makes bank.
Yeah.
And it's no right to make money.
So who would you have appointed then?
Again, the same way I said it about the United thing, no standout candidate. Can we have some sort of interview process? Maybe even make it public. Maybe do it on X Factor and let us all vote. I don't fucking know.
I don't watch that shit.
There needs to be some sort of process, though. Why is there...
Yeah, but how do you know what the process is? There's a committee.
Maybe that they are doing this process. Maybe because he was doing the 21 boss, they go... This is what we're doing. We're building in.
Yeah, that's the whole point of having that St. George's Park, isn't it? To have that centre where you get the feel for it. And yeah, all right, he might not have a great record as a club manager. He's gone to, obviously, you say 70 whatever percent for the under 21s. He's got tournament experience. What we lack when we get to a tournament, we can qualify.
But right, put yourself here, right? Sit yourself down in a dressing room. You're just putting your shin pads in. You're getting ready to go fucking play for your country against Brazil, right? And then Gareth Southgate walks in to rouse you up.
Yeah, but why would you need that as a motivation if you play for your country?
All right, well, with that argument, there should never be any managers then, should there?
Yeah, obviously.
And that's not the fucking case, is it?
Yeah, but you still need it. So, because the players, they go out to do a specific... You know, obviously, they follow rules or whatever, follow jobs. So the manager is there to pick the players to do those jobs. Right, I want you to do this. Mm. And then when you got that, so then yeah, the organisation, if you need to be fired up to play for your country, then what are you doing?
Agreed. If you need to be fired up to play for United, but clearly there needs to be some sort of motivation, management, tactical implementation, and, you know, just fucking squad sense. You know, someone who's able to gauge the team spirit in a squad. So understand, actually, even though he's a better player than him, he gets on better with them three fucking players, so as a team, they're going to look out for each other a little bit more. That's the nuances that you pay a guy $4 fucking million a year for like, seven bastard games.
Yeah, but that... I mean, that's...
Are you telling me we can't find a guy to do that?
But who, though?
You got to look at what the qualifying criteria is, then. So you got to say, do you want a guy that's doing all right in the tournament? So, right, okay, it makes sense to go with a guy that's got under 21 experience. Or do you say we need the guy who's the best guy for the job? And that's probably got to be someone who's in the Premier League, of which there's like, what, three fucking English managers?
Alan Pardew, then. Yeah. Like, then I think, who else is an English manager? Mike Phelan.
Eddie Howe. And Eddie Steve Bruce. And that's
then,
it. And then you go,
then
right.
You say, right, well, then, well, Steve Bruce isn't in the
You go, which ones aren't bent? And you go,
Eddie Howe. You would think. But you don't know. But then you say, well, although saying that, Eddie Howe has got more experience as a manager than, I think, the Spain manager.
It's an easier job, Spain.
Yeah, it is an easier job.
I mean, shit. Andre Herrera's just got his first call up, and Mata's not even in his squad, is he?
I don't really pay that much attention to internationals. I was pleased that Andre Herrera got got called up because I thought that's what obviously he's been working towards.
And because of his reactions while buzzing ears.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
No one gets that reaction with England. No one gets that fucking yes, I got that England call up. I've heard it with a couple of players who got it like proper randomly but didn't expect it.
What, like Jesse Lingard? He must have been buzzing.
I think Lingard was buzzing. Yeah, no, I think there was one in the summer, and it wasn't Rashford. Who was the random one that got took in the summer?
Jack Wilshere.
I said random, not ridiculous. Oh, my God.
I can't think. I don't know. These, I say, don't pay hardly any attention to internationals, because it just...
Right, so we've got... Well, fuck them off now, the internationals. Because the internationals are on,
mm-hmm.
No one's watching Premier League football. There is none. There's no club football of note to talk about. So what are you doing this fucking weekend? We've got UFC's in Manchester.
Oh yeah.
Super League's in Manchester.
Yeah.
So if you're savvy, you can fucking cut about this weekend and get a lot of sporting.
Yeah, you can do both. Huh?
I'm hoping to do three in one day. I'm hoping to do under 18 Saturday morning, Super League Saturday afternoon. And then 3 a.m. get over to the UFC.
MEN, which is...
But I fucked up, right? I fucked up because we get press for UFC events. I assumed I would get press. Being the biggest fucking MMA website in the country, forgive my arrogance, I thought we would get press. I didn't get press, right? But because I thought I got press, I didn't bother getting a fucking ticket on the pre-order. So I had to fight like a Momo on the Friday that they released, and I was on that website at 10 a.m. And at 10 a.m., they was all sold out but available on them tout websites.
Yeah, yeah, bullshit.
I got fucking mugged off royal. So, I'm still looking for a ticket.
How much should I pay?
I'll talk to you after.
Oh, because I know someone who's got four.
Yusuf.
Well, no, it's not him. Why, did he text you?
No.
No, he's got his own. I won't tell you online. I'll tell you who's got them.
Right, right. So, as it stands...
I probably won't buy him, though.
Why, did he have money?
No, I think they might be faced, you know, but I'm not sure.
Tell me after. So, as it stands, I'm not going to the UFC, but I am going to Super League. But I wanted to talk about the UFC. So, it's Bisping and Henderson, UFC 204, the first time we've had a title fight in Manchester.
With a British guy as well.
With a British... He's our first UFC champion. Absolutely buzzing for Michael Bisping. Buzzing for UK MMA, and then the UFC lube it up and slam it in your ass by putting it on at 3 in the fucking morning. How can you expect buy-in from local networks? How can you expect buy-in from the local media and from even the fucking fans when you're putting a main event on? The main card starts at 3 a.m. Bisping's going to be walking out about fucking 5:15 in the morning.
Yeah, and there'll be people in the streets of Manchester off their nut.
And this is going to be the weirdest crowd, right? Because you're going to be sat there and you're going to have people that are off their fucking tits,
yeah,
and people doing this.
So you're going to have to plan it strategically, aren't you?
If you was going on a night out. You can't go on a night out.
You can't go on a night out
and then go and watch it. No.
No way.
No, you can't.
But yeah, I don't know why they would. Well, obviously they do it because the American market's a lot bigger.
They're doing it for the pay-per-view. But if you just grow one market, you're ignoring these other markets. Where's the reward for all the UK MMA fans that have to get up at 3 a.m. every fucking time it's on in the States? And then there's one in our back garden, and it's our boy, and you put it on at a time that's so inconvenient. It's not just like, oh, if you want to watch it on telly, you can get up at 3 a.m. We're used to that. No one's asked.
Yeah.
But if you're going to the fucking arena and you're having a beer... now what? Hopefully that's not just fucked itself again. If you're going and you're having a beer, now what? Because if you're not driving there,
you've got to get public transport that sort of time.
You'll be able to get served in Printworks and shit.
Yeah. How are you getting on?
You got taxis.
Uber.
You got taxis, or go fuck yourself. There's no public transport at that time.
Well, by the time what?
It's Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, the first tram's about 6, isn't it?
On a Sunday? I don't know what the time is.
I don't know. Don't get on a tram.
Either way, you're getting fucked. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, that's
an absolute
logistical nightmare, isn't it?
There's going to be 18,000 people spilled out onto the streets of Manchester at 6 in the morning from one venue. But you're not getting a taxi, for starters. Not within 3 hours of leaving the fucking place.
I don't know, because obviously if you're a taxi driver, and you're working, you think, well, hang on, there's an event on here, so I'm going to do that shift. I'm going to start at midnight and work until like 10 o'clock in the morning or something. That's what you do, don't you? I mean, there's always workarounds of it. Yeah, it's not ideal, especially when it's in the UK and you think...
Not ideal.
Yeah, but people are still going to go.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, because clearly, it doesn't come around. The demand was like that for the tickets. Yeah. It flew. Talking about the actual fight, though, Henderson's had a lot of losses. He's had more losses than wins in his last 3 years as a fighter.
On, though, isn't
he? He's old as fuck. It's amazing that he's still walking. Supposedly, it takes him like a long ass time to get trained in the morning, like to get warm. He's just knotted up with all sorts of shit. He walks with a stoop and...
I think he's got motivation for this, though.
He's walking away from the sport regardless, which I think is a brilliant motivating factor to just leave it all in the cage. Can you imagine?
Well, that's it. It's going
it's
to be
the Rocky story.
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be definitely going to be emotional for both people.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Oh yeah, emotions could overwhelm either of these easily.
So you're like, is that going to spoil what should be a great spectacle? You never know, though, do you?
No, you never know. I was going to say, no, it will be a decent spectacle. Again, you might have a really weird atmosphere from the crowd anyway, because you're going to have half people binged off the face and then the other half like yawning the tits off.
Yeah.
It's going to be such a weird vibe inside the place.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time the main event comes around, I would have thought most people will be warmed up. The UFC gets you absolutely pumped. When they play the Barbara O'Reilly song and they've got that on the screen, the hair goes up on the back of your neck and you are ready for it. I think, talking about how the fight's going to go, I think Bisping's age, work rate, cardio. His cardio's out of his world. I think he's got like a resting heart rate of 28 or something. I think Bisping's cardio, all the rest of it, the fact that he's on a win streak and Henderson's, he's on a win streak of one. It was an unbelievable performance against Hector Lombard, but he's on a win streak of one. And I think it's a bridge too far for him. But if you look at who the guy has fought the who's who of MMA. It is literally a list of legends from Vitor Belfort, Nogueira, Fedor. The guy has fought and beaten, for the most part, every fucker in this sport. And if anyone deserves a title fight on their way out of the sport, no one's going to begrudge Dan Henderson. The guy is... People throw the word legend around too much, but it fits Dan Henderson. Let him fucking wear it. The rest of the card's pretty fucking smoking as well. You got Vitor Belfort against Gegard Mousasi. That's going to be a fucking war in the middleweight division.
But they both beat Henderson, and Belfort beat Bisping as well, aren't he? So you think that that next one there would be the title?
I don't think you're looking at a title fight from those two yet. But you might get one of those pushed into a title eliminator. Yeah, I think Romero's got a big say in where this title goes after this, but it's still going to be a fucking banger of fight. You've got OSP. This is a tough test for Jimmy Manua. Jimmy Manua, obviously, UK fighter. Absolute fucking oak tree of a man.
Someone's getting knocked out.
Yeah, someone's going to go. OSP's going to try and wrestle him. Jimmy Manua's going to try and keep it on his feet and fucking drop his right hand on him. And
well, he won last time he was in Manchester, didn't he?
Yeah.
3 years ago.
I'm trying to think if it was Ben Kingsley, was it for? I think. I can't remember the guy's name. Mm-hmm. Again... He can just go off. And then you've also got Brad Pickett. Brad Pickett does a podcast with MMA Latest, my other website. So everyone please be cheering on for Brad One Punch Pickett. It's the One Punch podcast. If you search for it on iTunes, go check that out and give it a listen. And we are looking at Danny Roberts, Hot Chocolate, fighting against Mike Platinum Parry, who's the most gangster white kid you've ever seen in your life. He's absolutely ridiculous. That's a hype train that's going to just crash into a wall. And then you've got Mike Diakese from Bama.
Oh, that, I mean, he was impressive when we seen him at Bama.
This is his UFC debut. Someone saying just ban someone. Is it this guy? I don't know if I can do it from here. Might have to do it on the thingy. Let me see if I do it over here. Give us a second, I'll get this guy banned.
Yeah, when he that it was 35 seconds, and he did Kane Musa, and we was thinking, oh, this is going to be a decent fight.
That was the UK lightweight war that everyone had been waiting for. And there's another one brewing with Brendan and Paddy Pimblett, which has got a lot of people fucking excited. They're arguing now about why it can't happen, and I know a little something about it, so I'm not going to go too much into it. But that's a fight that everybody wants to see happen. Unbelievable fight. But yeah, that one, Diakese and Kane Musa, the hype around that was the people's main event, and it was like 6 on the bill or something. Nowhere near the fucking main event.
It was about half 7 or something.
And there was no way. If anyone was going to win with a banger like that, it was Kane. And then yeah, he comes
the
out.
Power that he had.
Oh, Mark Diakese hits him with this overhand right, then does some breakdancing shit, and I just can't believe it. I had no idea that was going to go down.
Nah, but he seems like a proper sound kid. He
well rounded.
Yeah,
his skill set's well rounded as fuck. He comes from a grappling background, but as he proved against one of the deadliest strikers the UK's got to offer in Kane Musa, motherfucker can bang. So he's opening the card.
Yeah.
So that's midnight, I think, 1 o'clock. And this is what pisses me off, because if I do get in there, I'm probably going to come home for a nap after the Super League. Maybe. So I'm probably going to have to fucking record that and watch it and try and get in for the main event, because I don't know. But I do really want to see Mark. Mark's a fucking sound lad. Buzzing for him that he's finally got his shot in the UFC. And if you're a lightweight in the UFC, you need to fucking watch out, because this is a kid that's gunning for you. UK MMA didn't used to have like really well-rounded fighters.
No.
That was the old days. You got to fucking watch out now. So yeah, make sure you check out the One Punch podcast with Brad Pickett. I'm sure he's obviously had a couple of weeks off, hence the fight. I think the last one was the end of August, so he took September off. I'm sure he'll be back as soon as he's done, and hopefully I'll try and hook up with him on Saturday night, Sunday morning as well, after he gets his hand raised, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
One of the most experienced fighters in UK MMA, trains out in Florida at American Top Team, Top Geezer, and like a cartoon character, Cockney as well, but a sound geezer. Right, and Super League Grand Final. So, Super League Grand Final, Wigan against Warrington. Me and you have been to a few in the past.
Yeah,
the last time we went to one, I think, was Wigan,
Wigan
winning.
Leeds, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Wigan Leeds. Yeah, a fucking hell of a game, as well, I'd say. Wasn't that Sam Tompkins' announcement to the world about how much of a fucking monster he was?
I can't remember. I don't really know what goes on in them sort of games, but I enjoyed it, to be fair.
Like I said last time, we didn't just go and we enjoyed the sport. I'm a Salford fan-ish. I'm a proper fair-weather Salford fan. I go and watch maybe 2 games a season of Salford live. I'll catch them if they're on telly. I've never seen Salford get to a grand final, but the grand final in rugby is similar to the FA Cup final in football, where a lot of people will go and they go out and they support the sport more than any particular team. And I've just said whichever end I end up in, I've ended up in the Leeds end, I've ended up in the St. Helens end, I've ended up in the Wigan end. I'm going to just fucking cheer whichever end I'm in and hope that they go for it. And last couple of times out, I was in the Wigan end, or we was in the Wigan end when they won against Leeds in 2013. And I think
is that when it was? Was it only then? Yeah. 2013,
that was the last time he won it. And we was in the St. Helens end when St. Helens beat Wigan. No, when Wigan beat St. Helens, I think it was 2010. I can't remember the ones in between. But yeah, we're going. On Saturday, I probably was about to give away too much information about what we're doing and why we're going. But I'll leave that because I'm not sure that's all been finalised. But either way, that it's going to be a cracker of a game, I think. There's some players to watch out. Chris Hill, I think it is. Yeah, Chris Hill, prop forward from Warrington. Fucking tackling machine. He's got yardage in him. And I was having a look through the squad list to see if there's anyone. I don't know how many of you know what I used to play pro rugby until I was 21. Did 5 years in the academy until they realised how shit I was and was like, yeah, take a height loser. Ryan Bailey at Warrington is a player that I played with coming up. And Sean O'Loughlin for Wigan is a player that he played against Salford, but I never played against him. When he was, he's a year older than us, I think. He's a year older than us, and they ain't no old rugby players. If you look at the ages of these two squads, it's like 23, 24 year olds, both really young squads. By the time you get 30, rugby league, you are fucking ill, mate. You are. There's no
impact, isn't it, really?
It's like getting hit by a car. I remember we were going out to Stanley Bridge a couple of times. I couldn't even fucking walk through a door. I was in bits, and you and Farkas kept pushing us.
No. How am I supposed to remember those nights, mate?
Well, I remember it because I was in bits. I just wanted to go home and get cuddling.
I remember certain nights. Like one was not so long ago, the anniversary of it.
It was
on Saturday night, actually.
I think we'll swiftly move on.
Yeah, 1st of October. If anyone wants to have a quiz with me about that.
The winner of the Super League gets $100,000. To share between the squad.
Between the squad. And Gareth Southgate's there laughing his cock off, counting half a million quid.
Getting more than that. Getting more than that to go and play Malta. Pick the team against Malta.
Well, let Rooney pick the team.
Yeah. Should we hit some comments up? We are probably 35, 36, 7 minutes in or something like that. Mm-hmm. The other side says, do you watch boxing? A little bit.
Yeah, I do.
Can I just ask you though? Because this is what pissed me off about the more fair weather boxing fan. If everyone fucking decides they like something, I generally go the other way, which doesn't really jive with being a United fan, but I didn't get a choice in that. Like, you got buzzing for Froch and Groves, and I wanted to do nothing but not watch that, because that's not a high-level fight for me. Froch's a high-level fighter. Groves is not a high-level fighter.
Nah, he's not. He's not, but it's like, obviously, they're selling it, aren't they? And there was genuine hate there at the time. So that's what you want to see. You don't want to... you want to see things as well, like... top level sportsmen like Crawler last week or the week before, I think it was.
Crawler's top level.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, he weren't at that level for Linares. He was absolutely mint, but I think he's going to come back and, give him a rematch and stuff like that. Obviously, things going on with Tyson Fury at the minute is, you don't really like him. I do. I think he's a decent fighter. He's not, I don't have an issue with him, me. I think he's good entertainment. He went and did what no one else can really do, or very few people have done, and go to Klitschko's backyard and take the belts off him on a unanimous decision, which you never think you would get in Germany.
No, I didn't give him a chance going into it either, to be honest, because I look at him and I think the guy, and glass houses all you like, the guy's mega out of shape. The guy's not... not overly skillful as a fighter. He's got primitive head movement. His combinations are a bit shit. And I look at the likes of Joshua and I look at the likes of Deontay Wilder, and then I look at Tyson Fury, and it doesn't compute to me.
Yeah, but that's because you're looking at someone who thinks, right, you're a heavyweight. That's what you should be built like as a heavyweight. You should be a specimen of a man. But that doesn't work like that, though, does it?
Clearly. Doesn't fucking clearly.
Like, yeah. I mean... But it looks like Joshua was going to.
If you're a boxing fan, let me throw you at Tyson. No, not all right. You're saying that Tyson. I fucking confuse it with the other Tyson. Now this is a kid that I guarantee you've not heard of, right? People who say you're a boxing fan, prove it to me that you're a boxing fan. Do you know of Vasyl Lomachenko?
The Ukrainian.
Yes. 6-1 he is, and you go, who the fuck is this? Not bad, right? What I always look for, and when I'm looking at MMA fighters, when I'm looking at boxers, anything like that, what I look for is when you drill into their record.
Who's he fighting?
He's 30-0. Cool. What's the record of fuckers that he's fought to get to 30-0?
That's the thing with boxing. A lot of them get propped up to make the record look good.
Right? So let me throw you the record of this motherfucker out, right? So your debut fight, I guarantee, and I know the lads, I know loads of professional boxers, your first fight is going to be against a guy that's 4-80, right? That's your first fight. 4-rounder, 4-80, happy days. Crack on with yourself, right? This Vasyl Lomachenko's first fight was for a WBO debut fight, right?
Title.
The WBO International Featherweight title against a guy that was 25-3. First fight, wins. Second fight, going for a vacant WBO featherweight title, world title. Second fucking fight against a guy that was 41-12. This guy doesn't know what a fucking journeyman looks like. Then his third fight, so he loses that one. His third fight, right? So now, if you've got an Amir Khan, say, he loses, you usually throw him in against someone that's got or even a Hatton. We've seen Hatton get thrown in against a guy with questionable records, yeah? On paper, it looks decent to drill into fucking good, right? Well, how about a fucking guy that's 20-4-0 to rebound off your first defeat in your third fight? Yeah, smoke the motherfucker, right? Fourth fight, a guy that's 52-1, and so on. 25-2 in his fifth, then 25-4, and 29-2. This motherfucker fights whoever they put in front of him. I'm more often than
that. Yeah, and that's what you want. You want someone who.
But it's not just that. It's not just that. Is he a super bantam? I think he's feather. I think he's a featherweight. Yeah, and his next fight is for a super featherweight title against a guy who's 26-0 next month. Make sure you check this guy out, Vasyl Lomachenko. And if you get the opportunity, I'll throw this in the Reddit group in a bit. I'll throw a highlight reel of him in. Head movement. 4 days. And you know, it's that sort of Anderson Silva head movement as well, where he knows where your hand comes to, so he's happy to put his hands down
and taunt you.
And then hit you. He's like a white Roy Jones Jr. That's what he's like. I am all aboard the Vasyl Lomachenko train.
There's loads of quality fighters out there. The issue with it is obviously the organisations and making you fight this person, and some organisations rank a person higher than another person, then you end up fighting like he's the next in line for a title shot, and you're like, who the fuck are you? And it's just an embarrassment.
There's too many titles. The UFC smoked it with MMA because they are the title.
That is the pinnacle. Whereas thing is, there's a lot of, obviously boxing's been around a lot longer,
too many agents. Like, I couldn't get my head around it. You know, a couple of my friends that have fought for British titles and Commonwealth titles, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and one of them was telling me when Hatton was an agent, or Hatton is an agent, the agent controls the belt. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? He's like, yeah, he's won that belt, but he's going to vacate it. But even if he vacates it, one of the others, that he's going to put on a fight for, you know, this guy out of his stable versus fucking, you know, the lowest ranked guy that they can find for the title. And I was like, why is the agent allowed to do that? Why is the promoter allowed to do that? Where's the unions? Where's the British Border Control? Where's
If they're getting their money, they're not asked, are they?
I guess. They should be saying, someone said there, too many boxers cherry picking. It's fucking scandalous. That's why people are migrating to MMA, because they're seeing people get a win streak together. Like, look at fucking Wonderboy Thompson, Hype train starts to build, and then people go, let's give him this guy, smokes him. Let's give him this guy, smokes him. Let's give him this guy, smokes him. And they go, we're gonna give him a title fight. And they go, I'll give him a title fight. And it happens. Fucking Pacquiao and Mayweather should have happened when I was in fucking second year or something, right? And why did it happen? Was it last year it ended up happening?
Yeah, it was, May last year, wasn't it?
Like, what the fuck? It should have happened just after they both twatted on.
Yeah, that would have been the time.
The next one, boom,
2009,
boom.
Which, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been six, wouldn't it?
Not a whole fucking career after.
Nah. I mean, like I say, cherry picking, politics, organisations fiddling, money, getting all sorts of things is like, there's loads of stuff that's in the way, which is, it's a shame really, because it's got to that, you know, because if you strip it back in terms, like say, in terms of the fighters, there's some absolute amazing fighters there, and you know, people go out and fight. There's too many that you've
got to make fucking Alex Domagani, right? Now, the spirit that the guy's shown alone tells me that he'll be a world champion one day. So, he's from Brighton. He's fighting like four rounders and shit like that. It's fucking annihilating these guys. Guy offers him the opportunity to go and be Juan Manuel Marquez's sparring partner when he was training for Pacquiao, because he's an aggressive southpaw, and he's got a real good fucking in and out movement. It's not on the same level as Pacquiao, nobody is, but it's not a bad replication. They've looked at his style, they've looked at his footwork, and they've gone, fuck it, it's probably the closest you're going to get, and he'll be cheap. So he flew him over to Mexico for a sparring camp. He puts Juan Manuel Marquez down while HBO are there filming the Showtime, right? He goes, the whole gym went quiet, and he goes, I thought I was getting taken to the desert and buried, right? Because you know Mexico's a fucking rum old gaff, right? So he goes, I think I'm going to get fucking smoked out. And he's at the gym where Ignacio Baristin, I think the guy's called, is the trainer. Oh shit, what's he called? The fucking most famous Mexican fighter. Black dressing, cross dressing. He's there.
De La Hoya.
So Oscar De La Hoya's in there. They bring him into the office, they sit him down, and they go, won't you to move to Mexico? We'd make a world champion out of you if you train here. And now this is the part where I go, do you know what? That's the champion mentality.
Fuck it.
He finished his law degree. He went back and forth a couple of times, but he finished his law degree, and then he moved out there. He's out there at the moment. He's learned Spanish. He lives with the fighters. He trains with the fighters, and he's putting motherfuckers down. He's lost a couple since he's been out there, but it's the Mexican way.
Yeah, you got. Well, they just throw him in, don't they?
Yeah,
I mean, someone's saying there, Errol Spence is just as good. Yeah, he's a fighter, mate. He is a fighter.
Don't know the name.
They're talking about Errol Spence Jr. They're talking about him maybe fighting with Kell Brook. When obviously he gets on, that'll be a decent fight. Now, Errol Spence Jr., he can fight, mate. He can fight. So that'll be interesting if that happens. But like I say, I'm saying, then maybe Brook will be avoiding him. You never know. But I don't know, because Brook took the Triple G.
Way underweight as well.
Yeah, and he was well excited for that. So I think he probably would take Spence. But that'll be...
I like
Kel. Me, I think he's decent, and that's why Amir Khan won't get in the ring with him, because he'll end his career playing.
And that's it. Why is in MMA, obviously it sucks dick if you lose, but it's treated much more like a loss at football, where yeah. it fucking hurts. Let's get the fucking next one out of the way.
Probably because of the fact that so many people have got these records when you're like, oh, look
oh,
at
no,
it. Yeah, yeah, and it's like, oh, it doesn't really matter.
No, it shouldn't. You should be able to just fucking tackle loss. Like Alex has lost a couple. He will have a strap around his waist at some point in the future. The mentality to leave your entire family behind, move to fucking what's essentially a third world country in parts in Mexico,
well, there's
train with these motherfuckers.
There's a kid coming through at the minute now. He's in Gallagher's gym, Marcus Morrison, and he's from Hatsley, same place as Ricky Hatton. And like when Hatton was fighting Mayweather, actually, like obviously Mayweather's coming over doing promotional stuff and like that, and they seen Marcus must have been, I don't know how old he was, he must have been like 12 or 13 at the time. And he goes, I want you to come out to my house, live at my house, and train with me.
Can you imagine getting out as a 12-year-old fighter?
He weren't much older, because we was in Vegas, me and Scooby, and like was with a few of us, and one of his uncles, and he'd come out for food with us, and he was like just a quiet kid, obviously, he's only young or whatever, and like, now he's absolute, like, he's ripped up to death, mate. He's shredded. He's someone, you look at him and think, yeah, and like, He could probably go a long way if he keeps his discipline in that.
Well, look at Denton Vassell. I think the Hattons, because obviously Matthew Hatton's in the same weight division, I think they fucking messed around with Denton's career, because I'd have put Denton
going. I don't think he fights no more. He does PT. He trains Farkey.
Does he?
Farkey's PT.
No way.
Yeah, Farkey says he absolutely mullers him. Like, he goes, he's just all about fitness, he said.
Oh, of course he is.
Obviously, he's.
I thought he was too much about fitness as a boxer, to be honest.
Yeah.
But the way he fought was all about output, foot to the floor. If you don't know who Denton Vassell is, Google or go to YouTube and type in Denton Vassell against Lee Purdy, Commonwealth title. There was me and about fucking 70 others in Wigan fucking Leisure Centre, right, as he's winning this title. And I think his output was something like 800 or 900 punches thrown. He's just fucking on you. And I used to train at Shannon's. Me and Prinny used to go to Shannon's gym, where Prince Iron, obviously, Denton Vassell used to train. And Denton would just be skipping rope, I don't know, for 2 hours as a fucking warm-up. Because he's just
He's a machine.
I didn't know he was Farkey's PT.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
fucking get him on. Let's get him in here and fucking say, what the fuck? Why aren't you fucking punching people in the head, man?
Farkey told me, I said, because like, why is he not fighting no more? And I can't remember why. I'll have to ask him, but he's in Jamaica at the minute. So.
Yeah, Denton, he was one of the lads that you thought from Manchester that was going to do it. Crawler, obviously, being another. There's several out of Gallagher's that you thought could have gone on and done something. Aaron could have. I think he's still talking about it, but he's had multiple operations on his shoulder.
I think a lot of it, obviously, is your attitude as well, isn't it, in terms of like your dedication. I mean, the same with anyone in any sort of sport. If your mentality's not there to...
Pro boxing is a weird one, but pro MMA even, that there's a lot of these guys that be fighting at UFC that's this weekend that have still got other jobs and other careers because the money's just not there at that level yet.
Yeah,
but pro boxing is the most amateur pro sport that you can find. Like, Aaron's still scaffolding and then going doing 3-4 hours a night.
Yeah, even when he was like champion.
Yeah, British champion, British champion. Got 2 weeks off and back on the tools. What are you going to do?
Well, you got to make a living, haven't you? Even when he won prize fire, he got his check cut like so many different ways, didn't he? You got to go to work.
So that was a good night out though, when Prince Aaron won when he won prize fighter. Mm-hmm. But the guy's such a humble fucking guy. He was sitting there in his t-shirt with Allied scaffolding on it, like a pair of jeans, and was like, right, let's go out. Yeah. Like, mate, you've just knocked fuck out of people all over on telly 3 times, right? And he's like, just supposed to go for a pint.
Yeah, yeah, somewhat low key.
Fucking hell. Right, do you know what? I think that feels like a natural conclusion, unless we've got some questions that you want to throw us. Probably got another 5 minutes if you want to throw it at us, and then we will wrap it up. I think you're probably going to take about 20 seconds from the start coming through. But yeah, so...
I think someone kept putting on there, what do you think of Milner? I've almost seen that about 100 times on there. He's in my fantasy team. Just because he gets points and he's cheap, that's the only thing. And he takes penalties. But I wouldn't say like I would have him in my... If I was picking a team, do you know what I mean? And yet, like, you didn't have a budget.
There you go. Starts on Milner.
Yeah, see? There you go. Yeah, if you didn't have a budget, he's not going to be in your team, is he?
Is he quite dear?
No, it's like...
Jack. I saw that message a few times. I did intend to reply to it. What did I think of Supersonic? Supersonic was quality. There's a really, really funny story in it at one point, which I'll have you absolutely laughing out loud, and it's the crystal meth story, right? I'm guessing you've not seen it.
No.
For the, your guys' benefit, it's not really a spoiler alert. So they get their record deal, and they go and try and break America. And someone brings a load of crystal meth. They think it's cocaine. So that Liam's like, so everyone's just like, you know, lining up some fat ones, chiseling it up your face. And then he goes, the problem was we couldn't sleep. He goes, and we was awake for like 2 or 3 days or something. He goes, and then we had to go and do this gig at, was it King Tut's Wah Wah Hut or something like that on Sunset Strip in LA. And then they show like a 2-minute clip of them. And they're fucking shit. They can't play guitars. The guy who wrote the set list has given everyone a different, like, order. So, like, what, someone's playing one tune and someone's playing another tune, and then Liam throws a fucking tambourine at Noel, and it's fucking chaos. And they're like, yeah, crystal meth. I was laughing my fucking dick off. Do I watch South Park? Yeah, it's my favourite thing.
Yeah, this season, oh, I've not seen it.
It's out there, the new season. It's proper fucking out there.
I'm trying to get my missus to watch it, but she's like, oh, no.
Just fucking throw it on television.
But yeah, Flash is back now. Flash is back. That was a bit corny though, the first one I watched.
Flash?
Yeah, I've never seen Flash.
I don't think so.
Flash and Arrow. They obviously DC Comics.
Oh, right, no.
They, you know what, they're pretty good. I thought, oh, Arrow, I'm not watching that shit. And then I watched it, I thought, oh, you know what, it's pretty bad. Stephen Amell's the actor. He trained well, I thought. Basically, just kicking ass all day, doing martial arts and all sorts of stuff.
Jane's watching one. Don't know, some black guy that can take bullets.
Oh, Luke Cage.
That's the fault.
Yeah, yeah, because I watched Jessica Jones. That was pretty decent, actually. And Luke Cage gets introduced to that. But I think people are kicking off saying, why is there no white characters? So racist. They're like, what the fuck? He's a black guy. He's set in Harlem. What the fuck do you want? It's written by what? It's written by, like, I don't know who it's written by, but what's wrong with that?
People just get recreationally outraged. Yeah. Like, everything in life needs to be completely fucking equal and even. Guess what? Some people, men and women, and fucking people of different races, gravitate and like different fucking shit. Yeah. It don't fucking matter. No. I just saw a good question on this one, actually. Let me see if I can pull it down. Where was it? Why don't United have a women's team? Probably because there's no fucking money in it.
They've got, yeah, they've got a younger team.
They've got it up to under 18.
That's, is that a 17-year-old keeper? She's got selected for England. Yeah.
They've, it's
never,
a joke.
They've never really had it, though, have they?
No, well, my sister finished at 18.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister was at City for 3 years, then was at United for 3 years, and then when she was 18, it was like, see ya.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? And then what? It's like, not preparing them for anything else. I mean, they must be getting money.
Katie went to Oldham.
Must be getting money in it now. Was it Curzon Oldham, though?
Don't know.
They was like Curzon Ash and Oldham.
They were a good team, I think.
Because they used to play, obviously, at
I went and watched her a couple of times when she was at United. There was one time my dad told us, because I didn't go, especially when she was at City. City won a treble when she was there.
Mm.
And they scored after like 3-4 minutes. And Tottenham hadn't touched the ball. They used to do a North League and a South League, and Tottenham was the winners of the South League. And everyone's like, oh, they're going to fucking wreck you and all this lot.
Standard, like,
and then City just passed it around. He goes, they passed it down one wing, having a bit of a probe, nothing on, came all the way back across the back four, went on the left. He said, they did that like 3 or 4 times. He said, and then they just broke into the box, 1-2s, and then just fucking buried it. And he was like, they didn't touch the ball then, did they? They said he beat him 7-0 anyway.
Sure, look what they were.
Bumming. So, yeah, I mean, it's a shame because there's obviously a lot of talented girls. Jaden played... There's a girl that Jaden played with for a couple of years at Medlock that is now at United, and she's in the under-13 side at the moment. And she's playing way above her age. She's fucking brilliant. Like, a natural defender. Jockey, mint, everything. Distribution's good. She's aggressive when she needs to be. If she didn't play for fucking England, I will show my ass.
I mean, I don't really pay attention to women's football, to be fair.
No, nobody does. It's like, oh, fuck it, they don't, do they?
Well, clearly, this on TV now.
There's a lot of things on TV.
Well, that is true. That is true. Someone said, what do you think of Dundalk's performance in the Europa League?
I've not looked, actually.
They've
I did say I was going to, and I haven't. Sorry.
Do you know, they won, didn't they, last time out? They beat Maccabi Tel Aviv, I think it was. Beat them 1-0. They were like,
Champions League or in
the Europa? They was in the Champions League, and I think the
they didn't get through, so they
yeah they, but he was in the last qualifying round. But you know, basically, obviously, the League of Ireland champions, the amount of money that they've earned so far on the European run,
oh, it's like 20 years worth of
the league. They basically got the best team anyway, and now you've got the best team for like however long you want. But they have pulled out some performances. I think they drew away in the first game 1-1, I think, can't remember who they're playing. And then I think they won 1-0 at home in the second game. So I think they've got AZ, Maccabi, Tel Aviv, and they might have Zenit.
I remember as it was coming out, me and Ilya did the draw for Devils, and we said the places we want to go, Tel Aviv wanted to go, Party City, Ireland wanted to go, Party Time in it. There was another one we wanted to go, and I think whoever it was, someone got that fucking perfect trip, and we've ended up with Rotterdam, fucking Ukraine.
Which won't be going there anyway.
No.
Where do they play now?
They're still playing Ukraine, just playing.
Oh, like, the on the
western
side.
Yeah. Right. They're from the eastern side, right near Russia.
Yeah,
fuck
yeah.
That noise.
Yeah.
And we're on the left. We're playing on the left hand side, western side. And then I can't even remember who the fuck else we've got in.
Fenerbahce, that's the next
yeah,
one.
Yeah, fucking Turkey, mint.
Well, Van Persie will be back, won't he? Be nice. He won the best goal out of people.
I don't
who
know if it's
more.
The best goal ever, but it was a hell of a fucking goal.
Well, it's best goal out of people who scored more than 100 goals in the Premier League. But even so, like, you think
Terry Henry's got some goals.
Shearer's got some.
Rooney's got some.
Yeah.
There's some fucking goal. There's some goal scorers out of that group. I think it's 25.
It was a great goal.
Oh, unbelievable goal.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, it kind of...
Because he won the title.
Yeah, and it was his hat-trick goal as well. So
fucking unbelievable. Yeah. There was a question I saw a second ago about how tall is Angel Gomez. He's little.
Yeah,
he's little, but he's not... It doesn't matter. He's probably going to grow another inch or two at most, I reckon. But if he does, it's not a fucking major drama. Messi's little. Aguero's little.
Iniesta's
little.
Xavi.
There's a lot of fucking little players. As long as he's got good core strength, his touch is fucking out of this world. Mm. So his touch is fine. He can dictate games without needing to be physical, and that's when you know you're fucking mint, innit?
Yeah.
Like me, I have to fucking run around like a bull in a china shop to have an impact on anything, but I do. But yeah, he's fucking absolutely banging. Someone says, we'll call this the last one. Do I think Rashford's going to leave United for a team like Barca? Like the song says, mate, Rashford is fucking red. Like Manchester, so
yeah,
we will leave it on that. Listen, thank you to everybody who's joining us on iTunes, everyone who joined us on Facebook Live. If you are watching us on Facebook Live, then we thank you very much. This is every Thursday 9 o'clock, and if you're watching us on YouTube, every Thursday 9 o'clock, and then it goes on iTunes a little bit later. Listen, thank you for joining us. It's growing every single week, which is awesome. Some absolutely banging comments. A little bit of banter in the comments as well. And we'll be back next fucking week. And hopefully, we're a little bit closer to a United game. It's Liverpool that week.
Scousers, yeah, yeah. Monday night football.
It's a fucking hell of a game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, fucking laters, everyone. Do you get that one?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.